Hi, I'm Talissa.
And I'm Rachel, and this is Transatlantic Crime, a true crime podcast that covers stories from each side of the pond. Every week, we will both cover a separate story with a running theme.
Disclaimer, this podcast will contain swearing and details that some people may find offensive. If you are of a sensitive disposition, listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Transatlantic Crime.
Same place. Okay, what time is it for you there?
It is 11:05 a.m.
And how drunk are you?
I am not.
Aren't you? I'm pretty drunk, my friend.
Well, it's evening. It's the day after Christmas. I totally get it. But no, I'm definitely not there yet. I've spent a lot of time sleeping this weekend.
Have you?
Yeah.
What did you do yesterday?
Yeah, we just did regular Christmas stuff.
Did you just drink and watch, like, Die Hard?
We watched some movies. We watched the new Matrix.
I've heard that was absolutely poo. Was it poo?
It is. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, my boss was like, it was a good idea, but poorly executed.
Yeah, just like, there's just so much going on. And it's also just like, it makes you just want to watch the first one. Just watch
the original and best. Yeah, there's no need to fuck around. Yeah.
No.
Many Saints of Newark as well. That was a fucking waste of time. Yesterday, oh my God, it feels like a million years ago. Like, I'm so tired. And I think it's because I've been talking to family members that I haven't seen for months. Like, say the same thing over and over and over and over. And so, like, my mum was really hungover because Christmas Eve we went out and had like a family meal, and then Day my mum was like hanging out of her ass, and then she had to go to work all day, and she'd invited my auntie and her, my auntie's husband. My mum was like, are you coming back soon? I was like, yeah. I was like, why? She was like, I haven't got the energy to talk. She was like, please just talk for me. And I literally was going, so what was the best present you've ever got when you were a kid? I was just like cracking out all of the social questions I could think of. Then Christmas Day, I went to my brother's house early in the morning and I gave my nephew, who's three, his present. And it was like a book that says, like, it's got his name in it. You know, you get books that like have their name in it.
He's called Austin. So it's like, it was my favorite.
He was it.
So
it says, like, I'm an Austinsaurus, and it's, like, all about dinosaurs, basically.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I got him that, but he's three, so he can't read yet, and he's a bit sort of accidentally rippy with books. Oh. So Tom was like, we'll put this aside for a day when you can actually read and you won't rip the shit out of it. So, like, Tom was like, thank you, that's really thoughtful, but, like, let's not ruin it this second. So, like, took that away. Yeah, and then I came back here and my brother Ben was over and we just ate so much. And then, like, basically, my nephew Harvey is 21 and his girlfriend came over. She's called Izzy and she's 18. And like, I forget that when you're 18, you're so skinny, aren't you? She looks so young, but she is so young. But like, she's like fucking half my age, basically. I could be her mum if I'd have had like, you know, if I'd have had a baby at like 15 or something. Literally, I could be her mum. She was round, and then we were playing the cereal box game, which is where, do you know what that is?
No. What is that?
So, you get a cereal box, and you have to bend down and pick it up with your mouth, but you can't let your hands touch the floor. And then once everyone's done it, you take an inch off the box, like you cut an inch off, until it's basically just like 2 inches off the floor. So you're trying to get your face like 2 inches from the floor without touching the floor. Wow. So you have to have really bendy legs. And like, yeah, this Izzy girl won because she's like 18. But of then course. Like Carly was playing and she went, do you know what? I reckon if I hadn't have had, because none of us were very steady on our feet, obviously.
Yeah.
And then guess girl fucking Carly went, if I hadn't have had that last glass of wine, I could have had her. I could have fucking beaten her.
Carly, I'm sure you could.
I believe you, mate. Thousands wouldn't.
We I played a version of that at a wedding once where everyone danced around a napkin and tried to pick it up, but you couldn't pick it up with your hands? Pick it up with your hands. So like people would try and kick it up, or like some guys did the worm and like picked it up with their mouth.
That's so funny.
It was a messy but amazing wedding, and I never knew if that was like a game that was played that exists, or if it was just like everyone was drunk. Yeah.
Surely you should have a bit of height, like, to give everyone a chance.
No,
yeah.
No, that's where it started and that's where it went.
That sounds very, very messy and very wedding-y. But then today, we started watching old home movies of, like, holidays when we were kids.
Yeah.
And there's one of, like, me and my cousin and Carly and our friend Tia and Lauren, and we're doing a dance to a song in assembly, and my parents like took time off work to come to assembly. Aww. And film it. And it's to Money Can't Buy My Love by Jamelia.
Can you sing that a little bit?
Oh, it's Money Can't Buy My Love, da 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 da. Yeah, me and Carly had, I had black trousers on and a white top, and Carly had white trousers on and a black top.
Like, oh, nice. I love it. Coordination.
Oh, mate. It was, and Carly was like, oh my God, look at me. Because she's 5'7 now, but she shot up really early. So she's about a foot taller than the rest of us. She honestly looks about 6'5" in the video.
Yeah.
But we're all like 10. Oh, it's so fun.
Wait, so was that a song and dance that you put together, like, you as 10-year-olds, or did your teachers like be like, oh,
no, we independently insisted that we must be able to do the dance in assembly. But I think the teachers were just like smoking outside being like, yeah, this eats up 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And loads
I'm sure there were other kids involved, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, other kids doing other things.
Yes.
In this assembly. It wasn't just like some, all for you.
No, like some kids made up a play one week, or like some kids did another dance, yeah, or like some kids like played a trumpet or something. Like, if you had a talent, it was like a talent show. Like, if you had a talent, you could do it in the assembly.
All right, I love it.
Didn't you do that at your school?
No, speaking of like Christmas, we had a Christmas play every year, and that was like grades kindergarten or first grade through sixth grade, and it was like a whole play that we did in the gym, and
production values weren't great, but the effort was there.
But they were the effort was there for sure, and like it always led up to the nativity. And one year I got to be Mary because my brother was just born.
Wow.
And my brother.
Oh, so you could
Jack
hold the baby Jesus.
Yeah, it was baby Jesus.
That's amazing. You're the oldest, and is Jack, what, is Jack the youngest?
No, he's like the middle.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere in the middle.
So you just struck you lucky that year.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I did. It was like he was born in October, so he was the right exact time, like a good age to be like baby Jesus in the Christmas play.
Like, controllable at 3 months.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not like completely like newborn, where it was like probably dangerous for him to be around a bunch of
Handled kids.
Yeah.
But then last night, my brother Ben, when we were playing that game, I had a glass of red wine and he backed into me. And so I threw red wine all up his back. So it looked like he'd been stabbed. It was chaos. It was honestly chaos.
I remember one year you were with your family over the Christmas holidays and you were all practicing putting plates on your back because that's what the Golden State Killer did.
Yeah. Me and my brother were saying, we were wondering if it was possible to get out of the fact that you were hogtied with plates on your back. And we came to the conclusion it is not possible.
No.
Like, it cannot
so
be done.
Hard.
Yeah. No, it cannot be done. Without making a noise, we were like, right, if we shuffle towards the cupboard and then, like, let the plates, like, slide off your back, but then, like, slide onto the cupboard, and then I was like, no, can't do it. It cannot be done.
No. Too much noise.
But last night, my... And then last night in the kitchen, my stepdad was trying to teach us how to waltz. And then I was like, I'm not very good at dancing. Do you want a shadow box? And he was like, not really. And I was like, come on. And then I turned around and then Carly had my mum in a headlock. It was just chaos.
That's hilarious. Your stepdad is trying to have this like nice moment and you're like, no, let's shadow box.
I was like, punch me. I was like, punch me, I'll defend myself. He's like, I'm not gonna punch you.
Yeah, I unfortunately haven't had any of those kinds of wild family tales this year because
just it was come over
fairly quiet. Yeah, maybe you're next welcome year.
Any Christmas. And yeah, okay. Obviously that Izzy girl was like, what the fuck have I married into, basically? Get silly when we get together.
I hope all of our listeners had a great holiday as well. Great Christmas.
Me too. And Christmas is what you make it.
And
yeah. It doesn't have to be this like ridiculous asking your stepdad to punch you in the face Christmas. It can be anything you want it to be.
It can be quiet, it can be loud, it can be full of people, it can be just yourself, and that's fine too.
Oh, I would have had just as much fun on my own. I love Christmas so much. Like,
yeah.
I would have just sat and watched films all day with food in bed, and that would have been fine too.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and I don't remember going to bed. And you know what? For a laugh, I might actually post it on like our Instagram. On my phone camera, there's a gorgeous picture of me and my mum and Carly. And then then Carly came into the room and saw me asleep with the lights on and took a picture of me asleep with the lights on. I'm just like passed out. So I'll...
That's the next picture.
It's literally how it ended and how it began and how it ended. Like... ridiculous. Aww,
that's great. I'm glad you had a great time. And I got a text from you. All it said was, oh my god, I've been drinking for 9 hours.
Oh right, yeah. And then I tried to call you and you're like, no.
I was sleeping. That was one of the times you called me at like, I think it was like 9 or something and 9 a.m. my time.
That's too early. Sorry about that. Yeah. I'm glad you didn't answer the phone. Okay. We were so fucked. That was before we started wrestling in the kitchen.
But yeah, I hope everyone had a great one. And our Patreon, we have some new Patreon followers, right?
Yeah. So
we have to give a little shout out to them.
I took the liberty of writing things down before I got too pissed today.
Oh, great.
Very good of me. Well done, me. So I've written down all of our Patreon followers who we're going to give a little shout out to.
Yay!
Our newest Patreon follower is, I think your name is Carlene. It's Karlyne. If I've said that wrong, I'm very sorry. Also, we need to send a sticker out to you. So,
yes.
And then our Patreons this year have been Laura Kanker, Jonathan, Jamie Brennan, Tiffany F., Ben Jarosak, Jesse Bourne, Sean Kennedy, Samantha Browning, Sal Powell, Eloise Foley, Ruth McDermott, and Rebex Wilson. So thank you very much for your support.
Thank you.
And love. And
those
yes.
have been our ongoing Patreon supporters. I know we've had more.
We've had more, like, definitely.
Our ongoing. So we thank you so much and we love you forever. And we can't wait to bring you more things in the new year.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So today we're going to discuss the favorite episodes that we did this year.
Yeah,
so,
no specific theme.
I didn't want to leave you hanging, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
In that period between Christmas and New Year, which is a bit bleh, and you need to maybe go out for a walk to get rid of your family for 2 seconds or just to like walk off the 25 bottles of Baileys that we've all drunk. I decided to make a top 5 list of the episodes that I enjoyed the most this year.
Yeah, we both did that. Top 5 list. This was actually really hard because
it was quite
difficult.
There
are so many of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, there's loads
there's
I enjoyed,
so many
but
good
then
stories.
I thought I was going to get ones where I had like proper good reasons as to why I enjoyed it. And so I wrote down the episode and the reason. So would you like to go first?
Yeah, let's start with our number 5 and then we'll go down to our number 1. Okay.
Yeah.
So my number 5 was episode 21, Strange Instruments of Murder.
Okay.
And I loved this episode because my story was very like weird and different, but your story was amazing and crazy.
Oh, thanks.
And so my story was death by pickle jar, which
I feel like we
shouldn't like tell too much of the story because we want people to go back and listen, especially if you're a new listener and you haven't listened to us or our past episodes. I don't want to give away the full story, but yeah, mine is death by pickle jar, where this kid smashed a pickle jar supposedly on this guy's head. And then
he
your
deserved
story.
It, though.
Yeah, I think he did. I think yeah. he did. yeah. And then your story was the parachute murderer, where yeah. she didn't actually die, right?
No. She yeah. it by some
such a crazy story
miracle she survived. It's because she dropped into a freshly plowed field.
Yeah.
So like she yeah. if she had dropped onto anything harder than that, she 100% would have died, but she was in like a full body cast, basically.
Right. And this was, in your story, was a classic case of the husband did it.
Uh-huh. And yeah. she didn't believe that he did it for ages.
No.
And everyone was like,
she was in denial.
Bitch, please. Like, who else? That was a really good one. So I think I've taken a bit of a different format to you, which is classic me.
Okay.
You've done things that we both did that you thought were good, and I've just gone me. So my number five was episode 63, which is poisonings.
Okay.
And it
yeah,
was when I covered Alexander Litvinenko, because I didn't
yes.
know exactly what happened or why, but that image of him in bed when he's dying is like one of the most famous images. And
yes.
as soon as you see it, like, you know it's him.
Right. We were alive when this happened. So, like,
yeah.
to me, it's memorable because I was, like, what, like 16 or something seeing it on TV, which
yeah.
is also crazy.
It was, the picture just went around the world, didn't it?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And the weirdest thing is, like, Russia are still doing it. And they won't
right.
they won't admit it, and they don't give a fuck. Like,
yeah.
And fucking Vladimir Putin is still the president of Russia, even though it's fucking 15, 16
I
years
know.
Later.
Yeah, and he
if not
clearly
longer.
Was the culprit who was like,
yeah, he's
hey,
like,
you should poison this guy.
He's like, prove I did it.
Yeah.
Fuck you, I don't care. Yeah,
right.
And they still do it now. And so it's just like, it's just crazy. America and England, we always think we're the world powers and like no one
right.
will ever defy
the
us
moral,
and it's like
yeah
nope Russia does what it wants 100% of the time.
Yep. I'm gonna get in my story there as well, so that
yeah
episode 63 was yours was Alexander how do you say his last name?
Litvinenko.
Yeah, and then mine was President Garfield, and that was just a horrible
awful.
Way to die.
That is one of the worst deaths we've ever gone through.
Yes,
on this, I think.
Yeah, so that's a great episode. Good
yeah.
good choice on that one. That was a good
and
one.
And mostly,
so,
women are poisoners, but we didn't actually cover women on that. Both
that's
the murderers
so
were men.
True. Yeah. All right, so number four. What have we got for number four? I did episode 19. Catfish crimes. That was one of my favorites because, oh my gosh, I loved your story so much. Do you
oh,
remember
Rachel.
What you did?
Didn't I do that girl who pretended to be like four boys?
Gemma Barker.
Yeah.
That was her name.
Yeah.
She would like dress up as a boy. And I also did Janelle Potter. Kind of similar stories where it was two women and they were just trying to like be in weird relationships with people.
Yeah,
and
it was about love, wasn't it, really? It was about like the love they were trying
really
to
was.
Salvage love from anywhere that they could get it, which is really weird
yeah.
because on the poisoning ones where you think it would have both been women, we both did men, and
true.
On the catfish ones where you thought it would have both been men, it was both women.
Yeah,
and Janelle
true.
Potter. It's one of the fucking most mental catfish stories I've ever heard. So
that one ended up in murder. That
yeah.
one is an actual sad story. And then Gemma Barker, your one, was just weird and...
It was just sexual assault, really. Rape, yeah. Kind of. It was, yeah, nobody kind died, of. But...
Yeah.
Nobody died, and that's the worst thing about it, is that because nobody died, then nobody really got long prison sentences. But she's dangerous. If she's willing to be that manipulative to get satisfaction for herself.
So what's your number four?
So my number four was Home Invasions, episode 76, because it was the scariest, I think, out of all of our episodes.
Terrifying.
Nothing really scares me. Like, when we do episodes, I'm never scared, but I did The Beast of Jersey, and he was like the boogeyman. He broke into fucking children's homes and raped children. And whilst doing it, he looked like a fucking thing from your nightmares. And I ended up putting the picture up on Instagram, and people were literally like, Jesus wept, that's horrible.
Do you know, I talked about that the next day at work, and people didn't believe me. I was like,
really?
No, this is a true story. This
really
happened.
It wasn't a
thing
just made up to scare kids. Like,
no,
it happened to kids.
It really happened.
And he wouldn't kill them either. He would just take them out of their house, rape or sexually assault them, and then fucking pop them back in bed.
Yeah, or like leave them outside and be like,
on the
don't
doorstep.
Tell anyone. Yeah.
Or I'll come fucking kill
Terrifying.
You. That
I'm glad
is...
he got caught.
Fuck me, so am I. That is horrid. Yeah. And then what did you do on episode 76?
I did the Houston Decapitator, which
again,
also terrifying.
Never caught. Absolutely petrifying. I think I'll just come in, cut your head off, fuck off, and then never be caught.
Yeah. Yeah, so listeners, if you haven't listened to that episode and you want to be
shit
terrified in your bed at night.
If anyone's constipated after all the Christmas indulgence, that'll get things moving. Fucking hell.
Good call.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Otherwise known as the laxative. So
laxative episode.
Yeah. So what's your number three?
Number three was episode 36, Killer Couples, which I picked this one because I remember when this was in the news and you reminded me of it. You did Mick and Mairead Philpott, and I did the San Francisco Witch Killers, which I had never heard of, and it's also a mental crazy story. But I think both stories that week were just crazy.
And they ended up in the magazine. That was the one that ended up in the magazine.
Yes. You're totally right. Yeah.
It's just called Crime Monthly, and I love it.
Right.
I literally buy it whenever I get a chance. They mostly stock it in the co-op in England, or sometimes you get it in Sainsbury's. But that made it into there. Also made it into there, a story where I put drugs in my pants. And so they managed to publish that as well.
Great.
So I can't really show it to anyone.
All press is good press, Talissa, as long
as
it brought us new listeners.
Is it?
So if you listen to episode 36, then you'll hear those great two stories, and you'll hear Talissa's story of putting drugs in her underwear,
which
is referenced in the magazine.
Yeah, it's in print now, until the day I die. So, the other episode that I fucking loved of ours was when we did Famous Prisons, episode 47.
Yes.
You did Colorado Supermax and I did Broadmoor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just crazy to think that there are places like that. Some people, like, aren't scared of prison. Some people are like, you know, they're either orphans or they were in the foster care system and then they went to prison. They're like, well, this is fucking nothing compared to, like, children's home. Or, you know, they're just used to being institutionalized. But the thought of being in Broadmoor or the thought of being in that Colorado Supermax prison, I was like, fuck that.
No,
like,
thank you.
Yeah, so... And also, like, Broadmoor's quite secretive. Like, I try and watch loads of programs on it. I try and read books on it.
Mm.
But there's just nothing, really. Like, it's kind of, it's almost like a psychiatric hospital more than it is a prison. And the worst of the worst are there. Like, people who have, like, raped, killed, and eaten children and, like, shit like that. Like, yeah. awful shit that you could never even imagine. Those people are in Broadmoor.
Yeah.
Nobody does prison like the Americans. I'll give you that. You lot don't give no fucks.
Like, nope.
You will lock people up for the rest of their days.
Four white walls, no windows, no sound. No sound.
I know.
That would be the worst part. And then like a little bit outside where you can get 1 hour a day. The rest of the time, 23 hours, you're in this just cell of nothing. Well,
it's just like a hell of your own making, isn't it?
Yeah. And also, Broadmoor comes up so many times in your stories because that's where people get sent.
Yep.
So yeah, that is a great... What number is that?
That is episode 47. So there's Famous Prisons. It's like a two-parter. Yeah. So we did Famous Prisons as the part one and then Famous Prisoners as the part two.
Yes.
We should do that again. That was such a good theme. Yes. Famous Prisons and Famous Prisoners, like 100%. Yeah. I'd love to do that again. Because I found out since the Broadmoor one that there's actually... there's three huge psychiatric prisons in Ooh. England, but because Broadmoor is the nearest one to me, I always hear about it. So there are actually two others that I could cover.
Okay.
That would be super fun.
I would love that. That would be great.
Yeah, I'd love to do that too.
I know that there's other supermax prisons in America that we could talk about for sure. And prisoners.
Yeah,
crazy
definitely.
Prisoners.
Which is always great fun.
Great number three. Okay.
Yes.
Number two was episode 82, very recent, only a few weeks ago that we did this one. Too Many Suspects. And
yes, that nearly made it in my list. Nearly.
Yeah?
Yeah, it did too.
That was a great episode because I did the LaSalle Street Murders, which was about some guys that got murdered in their house. And there were just too many people that could have murdered these guys because they were womanizers and they had this bet going on. Everyone hated them. They stole from their ex-boss and started a new business. They had a bet going on that how many women they could sleep with. So they probably had like a bunch of angry boyfriends and husbands.
Pissed off husbands.
They were connected to the mob. So that was a great episode. And then, or a great story. And then yours was Jack the Ripper. And I just loved hearing all the different very valid suspects that could have been Jack the Ripper.
It's so difficult. Annoying.
So that was my number two, episode 82. Great stories. Go back and listen if you haven't. And what's your number two?
My number two is episode 50, DNA to the Rescue.
Ooh, that I almost picked that one as well.
Did you? That
was
episode. It's so cool that we've both got different ones. And we haven't consulted on this at all.
No.
Yeah, you did Jessica Baggan.
Mm-hmm.
And I did Melanie Road. So yes. Melanie Road, she basically was just walking home from a night out and somebody like beat the fuck out of her, raped her, and killed her. It was just a cold case, completely cold. And then it turned out the murderer was just some fucking middle-aged guy. Like, had a wife and kids. That was the only person he had ever killed.
Yep. Yes, I remember
And he thought he had got away with it. And the thing that stuck in my head was his wife was like, "When are you coming home?" And he was like, "I won't be coming home." Like, he just knew that he was banged to rights. And it's just, like, how many people are out there walking the fucking streets that have killed someone Terrifying. In a horrible way and they just think that they've gotten away with it? Or now, in this, you know, climate of, like, being caught on DNA, how many people try and go to sleep every night and think, please don't let them catch me, please don't let them catch me?
I know.
Like, and I love that. And like, that's what I loved about that. And I love it when people get caught with DNA. It's like one of my favorite things. And obviously, you know, the Golden State Killer.
Yes, that is exactly what comes to mind when you think about that, because he got away for so long and
ruined so many lives.
Yes, and he was caught because, one, because of Michelle McNamara, who wrote a story and made this like well known, made this story well known when it wasn't, but two, because of what's it called? Historical
familial DNA.
It's not, familial DNA, where they didn't find his DNA, they got a family member's DNA, and
who'd gone on ancestry.com.
Yes, which is why everyone should do that, because maybe you're related to a serial killer that hasn't been caught. And they went into his trash and got some of his DNA, and or maybe it was a restaurant. They took I can't remember, but they like sneakily got his DNA and made a match to so many of the Golden State murders. And that's such a good story. But yeah, your story was great as well.
There's plenty more to come. But remind me about Jessica Baggins. Oh, wasn't it that the wrong guy got sent to prison?
So Jessica Baggins, she was a 17-year-old in Alaska, and very similar to yours. She was just walking home. It was the day of her birthday. She was having a sleepover.
They had
a picture of her, which is kind of rare. Like, when someone disappears, you don't have such a recent picture. But her picture was from that night. And she had gotten, like, a birthday card and a birthday present, and someone took a picture of her. So you knew what she was wearing. And she was sexually assaulted and murdered, and the killer got away for about I think she disappeared, it was 1996, and the killer got away. He moved, that was in Alaska, and then he moved down into like the mainland to Arkansas, and he had gotten away with it for a long time. And then they found him, went to go interview him, went to arrest him, and he killed himself in 2020.
Yes, and there is a very similar story that Billy Jensen got really involved in, and it was somebody found a body under their house in a barrel, and it was a woman, and she was pregnant, and she had
story.
Yeah, it is. She had an address book, and they were trying to look at all the numbers and stuff, but because of like over time and decomposition, it had all faded. But they figured out that the drum that she was in was from a factory. Yes. They contacted the boss of that factory. They found out that there was rumors that he had been sleeping with one of the migrant workers, and she got pregnant. And then they found out that he used to live in the house that she was found under. Right. And then they went to see him, and they were like, "You're going to have to come into the station tomorrow." And he killed himself.
Yep. So disappointing. But again, it's like you were saying, like, these men, they're sleeping in their bed every night with this fear that they're going to be caught. And then it happens.
Everything comes out in the end, you know?
Yes, exactly.
I try and comfort myself with that, because sometimes I look around and there's people who I know, and I think, you are such a piece of shit. And like, I know,
you've gotten away with something that,
you know, like, for example, like my cousin's like ex-husband, or like people like that. I look at them and I think, you are such a piece of shit. And like, I know so much about you. And if everybody knew what you'd done, and everybody knew who you were, you would lose your job. No one would like you. But because you're still alive, you can like lie and say, oh, she's just bad mouthing me. Or, oh, you know, she's bitter.
She's just bitter.
She's just offending her cousin. She's spreading lies about me. Like, what do I get from spreading lies about you? Right. But one day, I just pray to God, one day it'll all come out and your whole fucking life will fall apart.
Well, the other comforting thing about that is that your kids will grow up. And that, I think that'll be like the devastating thing, is that they'll see how much work their mom put in the other family. And then they'll look at their dad and be like, you're a piece of shit. Like, I don't want to be around you. And I think that could be punishment enough for some parents.
Some parents, true. But yeah, you know, like Jimmy Savile, it all came out in the end.
Yeah.
Okay, he was dead, but it all came out.
Unfortunately, he was dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
But
he
if he was
wasn't able to
alive,
be accountable.
he had like dirt on other people.
Yeah.
That's why nobody outed him, because he had
It's
dirt on
true.
other people. And like, you
Right.
know, Gary Glitter, that's all gonna come out. Like, even more shit will come out. Cliff Richard,
Yeah.
mark my words, you've heard it here first. I've said it here. I've said it before on the podcast, Rachel. It's gonna happen.
I will die on this hill.
I'll die on this hill that Cliff Richard is a pedo. Right, moving on. Moving swiftly
Okay.
on.
Great number two. That was great. All right, number one. This was one of my favorite
Is
episodes
it going to be the same
because
one?
I don't think so. Number one for me, this was my favorite story that I've done. Episode 20,
Okay.
Revenge. And my story, I'm not really going to talk about yours because yours is really depressing, but mine was Diana, Diana the Huntress.
My God, what a banger! I absolutely
Yes.
forgot about that one. This is like a spirit raiser.
It's for if you're a female,
If you want some
if
female
you've been,
empowerment,
yes,
if you've been fucked
that,
over recently, get
or
on
any
episode
time in your
any time,
life.
which I'm sure you have. Then get on
Yeah.
episode 20, right? Episode 20.
Episode 20, Revenge, Diana
Yeah.
the Huntress. It wasn't in the United States, it was in Mexico, but it's on the border, so it's very close to the Texas border. And this woman just went around taking revenge on men. And I think that's all I should say about it because there's so
Yeah,
much that
listen to it.
happened, and you should go back and listen to it.
There's a femicide going on in Mexico, basically, and
Yes.
she fucking takes it into her own hands, Marvel hero
Yes.
style,
Yes,
basically. Yeah,
exactly.
incredible. Incredible. Okay, so my episode one, and like this is really indulgent of me, but like my episode is episode 71, Scientology,
Yes.
because I am obsessed. I'm
Yep.
obsessed. I'm obsessed that it still goes on. I'm obsessed that it's legally allowed to go on. I'm always listening to Scientology The Aftermath with Leah Remini and
Yep.
Mike Rinder.
Yep.
I listen to it every week and I just love her so much. Like, Leah Remini is like, she's just such
Yep.
a gobby cunt. I love her. Like,
Both of our number ones are about
strong
women
women.
who've
Yeah.
been empowered to do
Yeah.
something, which I
Yeah,
love.
so she basically left Scientology and she put in a missing persons report for Shelley Miscavige. There's
Yes.
something going on. So, in a
Still
nutshell,
going.
it's still going on. They still haven't fucking
Yeah.
found Shelley Miscavige, but in a nutshell, L. Ron Hubbard was the founder of Scientology. He wrote science fiction books. He comes from the same place that my friend Sarah Joy comes from, and she's obsessed with cults. And David
Well.
Miscavige took after L. Ron Hubbard. He was basically like the next in line. And I don't, he
Right.
wasn't like nominated or anything. He just was like self-nominated. He was like, okay, I'm now the boss of
think
Scientology.
he was like Elrond's
Like,
like
what, left
right-hand
hand man?
man and
Left hand man, right hand man.
but he
Knob.
really snuck his way to the top. Like he started
Yeah,
off as like a young
there was nothing in writing
Scientologist.
saying
Right.
he's next up. He was just like, I'm next up, me next.
Yeah,
Like,
and he really like snuck his way into being his right-hand man just by being like the, you know, like his little
absolute kiss
sidekick.
ass.
Yeah,
Like, and they're all
exactly.
expected to like write reports on each other and
Yes.
self-police.
Yeah.
So he is like the ultimate weasel, and he's about fucking 4'10", as is Tom Cruise. It would not surprise me if they were like a secret couple. Anyway, so Shelley is David Miscavige's wife, and if you want to do a deep dive, then there's an incredible podcast called Scientology: The Aftermath, and
Yes.
the guy on there, it's Mike Rinder. He was basically the guy who it was his job to ruin people's lives.
Yeah.
To fair game.
He's scary
people.
Too. There's he is of fucking him back scary. Then. He's just so aggressive and
yeah.
The, like I can he's see why he was the guy. He was the guy that would scare people into doing what Scientology wanted.
Yeah. And the more, and the only reason he quit was because they put him in the hole, which is like a punishment camp kind of thing.
Right.
Where they just beat the shit out of you every day because you've done something wrong that they deem to be wrong. That's not even really wrong. Like it can be anything.
Right. And they would like any little not thing. Feed you and you wouldn't
beat
be able
you
to go
up,
outside or go to the bathroom.
Face.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a real mind fuck as well. Like they say stuff like, there was one episode of Scientology, The Aftermath, where somebody gets sent to the hole for not calling Tom Cruise sir. You have to call David Miscavige sir. And he's like, he's on like the same level as Tom Cruise, basically. So David Miscavige is above him. So he says, hello, sir. Hello, Tom. And David Miscavige is like, why the fuck aren't you calling him sir? Get out of here. And then he like gets sent into the hole for like 6 months. Sometimes they accidentally break people, I think.
Another great documentary is Going Clear, which is on HBO.
Incredible.
I've watched that like 6 times, and there was a time in my life where I made people watch it whenever they came to my house.
I remember, again, we've told this story on the podcast before, but my boyfriend that is our mutual friend had just broken up with me. Like, that's how we met, was this boyfriend. And you were like, I was like, Rachel, I need something to watch. And you were like, watch Going Clear. I was like, okay. So like the middle of the afternoon, and I was like eating salami in bed and drinking red wine and watching Going Clear and like
in
taking Cody in the dark. And my mum just like slipped her head around the corner and was like, are you okay? I was like, I'm fine.
Weird like connection to our friendship that
that was a soundtrack to my heartbreak. Going Clear. Literally my mum popped her head around the corner and it was like, in 1964, L. Ron Hubbard. I was like, are you okay in there?
That's so
I'm fine.
Funny. That's a great episode. Go back and listen to it. I love talking about Scientology. I love talking about cults. A couple of episodes where we do talk about cults. So, and I do have a couple of honorable mentions for, because I just couldn't decide
it's
which
difficult.
Ones it
on.
Was,
What's
but
your,
those
mentions?
Are our top five honorable mentions. Okay. Episode 3, Killer Women, which I did Amy Bishop, which she was
I never
just...
forget that episode, and I don't know why.
Yes. Me
she
too.
She is such a nutter.
Like... She is. She's on par with a lot of the crazy men that end up killing because she had such a big ego.
There were so many warning signs.
There were so many warning signs. So just from like her demanding a high chair in an IHOP and like punching a woman in the face because she didn't get it.
Yeah.
And all the way up to it escalating where she shot people at her work. So that episode 3, Killer Women. And then a couple other honorable mentions. Episode 13, Conspiracy Theories. You did Princess Diana.
I was going to include that, but then I thought we were only doing ones in 2021. So
really?
I cut that from the list. Yeah, but if I had an honourable mention, it would be that. Because I have heard, you know, so many people crack on about this is what actually happened and this is why she died and da-da-da. And when you actually look into it yourself and get the facts for yourself, you find out that, like, they worked on her for, like, they were like giving her fucking CPR for like 5 hours, which was completely pointless because when they did the autopsy, like her aorta had like ripped away from her heart during the impact of the
it didn't
crash.
Matter,
so it
really
wouldn't have
tried.
Mattered. She died in like 10 minutes.
So sad.
Yeah. It's kind of easy to believe that she might have been killed by the royal family.
It is.
Like, I don't believe in any fucking conspiracy theories at all. If I had to say I believe in one, it might be that one.
Mm.
Because Charles is our future king, right?
Yeah.
And you are not allowed to be divorced as a king of England.
Yeah.
So it's the equivalent of Henry VIII beheading his wife for treason.
Yeah.
It's the modern day equivalent of that. So,
and Diana, she also knew so much about the royal family, and the fact that she was divorced didn't
help.
And she
was getting a bit chatty.
They were married. Yes.
She was writing books. Like, she had to make her own money. She was getting a bit chatty. Yeah, I can complete, if I look at any, you know, like, you go with conspiracy theories, like, what's your end game?
Yeah.
That has a good end game for a lot of people. Like, it benefits Charles. It benefits the Queen. It benefits the royal family's reputation in general. It benefits a lot of people for her to purposely be dead.
You're right.
So I don't want to say I believe she was killed by the royal family. All I'm saying is, if I had to pick a conspiracy theory, that would be it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I totally agree.
If you had to pick a conspiracy theory, what would yours be?
There's so many.
You love conspiracy theories.
I'm thinking
theories.
Of like, what is it? Agent Orange. That's
What's
a big
that?
One. Maybe it's not called that. It's when the...
What's it about?
The government, the U.S. government did experiments and the...
Oh, with acid and stuff.
Yeah, with drugs and...
And that guy threw himself out of a window. Oh, no.
Ted Kaczynski was supposed to be... Ted Kaczynski is the...
Unabomber.
What's his... The Unabomber. Yes, you're right. He was supposedly part of these experiments where it just messed up people.
And that's why he went mad.
Possibly, yeah.
Okay.
And so that's one conspiracy theory. There's a lot to do with the U.S. government that you could now,
there's files that say they actually happened.
Exactly, yeah. That come out as, like, they're true. Aliens is another one. I don't know what you think about that, Talisa, but
you know I don't believe in ESP or any other mumbo jumbo. But it's your right to believe in that. That's fair.
And then there's the Kennedys, not just JFK,
that
but
they've
his
brother, just got bad
Bobby
luck.
Kennedy.
That whole family is cursed. I mean, well, if anyone is cursed, it's probably them.
I like how you think of that a curse is could be true, but not a conspiracy theory.
Bad luck. Let's call it that.
But to bring it back to our episode where you did Princess Diana, I did Bobby Fuller, who was the singer who did I Fought the Law. And that was a conspiracy theory because he was found in his car or in his mom's car.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the parking lot, and they didn't know how he died, and he had a couple of different connections to how he may have died, which maybe it was the mob, maybe it was something else.
And so, didn't they write it off like an accident, but it clearly wasn't it?
Yeah, the coroner couldn't decide how he died. It was like crossed off on his death certificate, like suicide or accident. They never said officially what it was. So that was a conspiracy theory. And then I have a couple other honorable mentions as well. Do you have any honorable mentions?
Well, I kind of wanted to mention that weird sex cult in Wales.
Oh, yeah. That was what I was going to talk about that one.
But it's not, it's kind of like not cool because children got abused. And so it's not fucking funny. But it's also funny because it's a sex cult in Wales. Like, it's
the Kidwelly sex cult.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing ever.
Episode 61, Satanic Panic.
Yeah.
And I did Panic in Jordan, Minnesota, and you did the Kidwelly sex cult. That was, yours is just, one, because it's Wales, and two, the weird sex cult in Wales.
What the hell was that?
Those words don't go together.
No. And so I thought I'd mention that. And then I thought, no, there's others that aren't such a bum out. And then I kind of also wanted to mention the murder of Sarah Everard by Wayne Cousins. Because this chapter, which is a YouTube channel, did an incredible coverage of it. So if you want to know, like, they have camera footage from the police officers when they first go and interview Wayne Cousins. And he's in
really?
He is so fucking stupid. He's supposed to be a Met police officer, right?
Yeah.
And he's in handcuffs, and they're going, we're here just because we want to ask you some questions about Sarah Everard. And he's like, I don't know. It's like, why do you think you're in handcuffs? Why do you think the police are at your house? Do you think this is just a fucking coincidence? I cannot believe you are so stupid that you work out that they know that it's you.
Right. Like, how are you going to feign stupidity?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know what's going on.
And he does dare to. It's unbelievable that you would sit there in handcuffs and try and lie if they really thought you were innocent. It's just, it just boggles your mind that a police officer wouldn't go, they're at my house, they've handcuffed me, and they're asking me very vague questions about a girl that I have murdered.
Like, that I have no connection to. But
get a fucking clue. She's not your neighbour. Right. She lives in London and you live in, like, fucking Essex or God knows where. Kent. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's just, that was one of the most shocking and, like, very good in-depth pieces of info that I've ever seen on it, considering it was such a recent case. And so...
What was the YouTube that you watched?
So it's episode 77, Fake Cops, for us. Yeah. And the YouTube is called That Chapter. And he is a lovely Irishman that just has a fantastic way of, like, retelling stuff. So if I had to recommend a YouTube channel, that's my favorite crime YouTube channel.
Maybe we should have him as a guest or something. I'm sure he
That's
would
what
that.
Carly said, and I said that he's too famous, but maybe that's just because I really like him. And I think that he would laugh at me and call me a slag.
No. We have listeners. We have lots of listeners as well. So
yeah. I would fangirl too hard, Rachel. You would have to take over. I'd wet my pants.
No problem.
Okay.
So episode 77, that's a great honorable mention. And then I also wanted to mention episode 55, Explosions, because that was a little bit different from what we normally do.
It was. And your story was super interesting. Never heard of it.
Yeah, the Texas City disaster. Yours was the London nail bombings, but mine, Texas City disaster, truly a disaster.
It really, if anything could have gone more wrong, it was
worse
and
worse. Yeah.
That was a real howler.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, all the way around.
Yes. Over and over and over.
And
then
yeah.
Last of my honorable mentions is episode 42, because we have a lot of listeners down under. Talissa and Rachel go down under. Episode 42. Great episode. I think we should go down under again, or maybe to New Zealand because we have some listeners there.
Did I do Grace Mullane?
Yes, you did. And I did Edward Leonsky.
Because yours is like oldie timey. Yours was like, is in the war, isn't it?
Mine was like wartime, yep.
That guy was super crackers.
He was. Yeah.
He really was. Just to polish off, and then I'm going to go downstairs and eat some more cheese and maybe have a glass of red wine.
Yes.
Because it's Boxing Day here. So I just wanted to give a huge shout out because today I did a little recce of what we have, and we have 49 five-star ratings on Apple, which is unbelievable. There's not one
Christmas
four.
Miracle.
Don't be a cunt and put four for a laugh. It's not funny. and then we have 5 five-star reviews on Podchaser, which is just another medium for listening to podcasters that you can put ratings on. And also, we asked recently if our listeners would put ratings on Spotify, because that's a new feature.
Yes.
And 20 of you have done that. And I don't know who you are because it's anonymous, but I love you so much for doing that. You are angels sent from heaven above.
If you're listening right now and you haven't done it, and if you're like me where I listen to podcasts on Apple Podcasts and I listen to music on Spotify, so very easy if you're like me, go to your Spotify app, go to our podcast, subscribe, and give us 5 stars. That's that I asked for this Christmas.
I think you have to listen to about 30 seconds of the podcast because Spotify are clever fuckers and they know if you've listened or not. So just put it on silent and just press play, or put it on like volume one and press play for 30 seconds. I don't expect you to listen. Or maybe after you've listened to this on Spotify, if you could just give us 5 stars on there, we'll love you forever. But yeah, it's you can't believe how grateful I am every time someone says something nice about the podcast. It makes, see, it's Boxing Day. I could be downstairs right now, deep throating some cheese and wine, and I'm here doing a podcast because talking I love doing it, talking to you, and I love doing it, and I love talking to Rach, and it's just really great fun. So I just want to say thank you.
Yeah, I just say thank you.
Just fucking thank
you. Especially to, I know it's like, we have family and friends who listen to us, and I love them for that, but when we get strangers who are like,
they don't have to listen to us.
You don't have to.
Who are we to them?
We're not making you listen.
We are no one to them. We are fucking losers. And they're like, let's listen to these sad bitches. And I just think that's so nice. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you. And I love you so much. Even if you just listen to one episode and you're like, nah, this is shit. Bye.
It's all stats to us, baby.
If you've stuck with us for this long, we're on 88 episodes. Thank you so much. We love you.
Yes.
And that is it.
And I'll put up a little picture because I'm drunk. I don't care. I'll put up a little picture of us.
Oh, no, not this one. No.
That's the one that's going up.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. It's happening. Right.
No.
Okay.
Oh, no. I look terrible.
You
day
look
after
gorgeous.
Christmas morning.
You look gorgeous as ever, you little Irish angel. Right. I'm off to eat some more.
But, okay.
Love you loads, all of you, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks for listening. We will speak to you soon. We will speak to you in 2022. That's our next episode.
Yeah,
so everyone have a safe New Year's Eve and Happy New Year's. Bye.
Happy New Year. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Transatlantic Crime this week. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe.
And if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at TransatCrimePod, Instagram at Transatlantic Crime, and on Facebook with Transatlantic Crime Podcast.
Thanks, bye.